Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Christian Corley, he's James McLean. We're here in this kind of emergency reaction cast to discuss the naming of the next incarnation of the Doctor, the new star in Doctor Who. Who says we don't script this nonsense? And like many people, I've been sat watching the tennis all afternoon for the first time since Tim Henman was a player. So probably, when's that? 15, 20 years ago? Something like that, anyway. I can't remember. I don't think I've ever watched the men's final, though. Have you ever watched the men's final?
No, not this year.
No.
Yeah. Sometimes I do.
Yeah. It's an interesting way to get Doctor Who fans into tennis, I think.
Yeah, or tennis fans into Doctor Who.
All that. Yes. So, and it's been a funny old day. So we've had the announcement that Jodie Whittaker, who was one of the stars of Chris Chibnall's Broadchurch, particularly season one, although she did quite a bit in season two as well, is the new Doctor. So that is a lady. The future is female, or girl, as I think the Master put it. There's been a lot of names popping up during the day. David Tennant was at Wimbledon, so that got a few hearts a-fluttering. David Dawson from the first three series of Ripper Street, he was also mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Today, popped up at the last minute. Strangely, I thought, for a show that seems to be borrowing from Broadchurch, James Darcy was nowhere in the betting at all. This is this is betting. You know what bets are like. Well, this is betting that featured Eddie Izzard, Alan Davies, and Tom Baker in the running. So why James Darcy wasn't in there? Who's I think he's currently in. He's in one of the Marvel TV shows. I'm not sure which one at the moment. And he was also in Broadchurch series 2.
Right. Where were you going with this?
Well, what I'm saying is there's a lot of people just popped up today. And yet all the way running through this for a few weeks now has been for a few days certainly, but the idea of a female Doctor for a few weeks. And the name Jodie Whittaker has been there quite constantly for a few days now. So not Chris Marshall. If you're American, no. Jodie is a girl's name here in the UK.
I mean, the Chris Marshall thing, I was talking this to a friend, was saying, do you reckon it's going to be Chris Marshall? And I was going cold on the idea just because if it had been and the Mirror had actually scooped something, I think they'd have been forced to announce it earlier on the basis that if they'd now said tonight, it's Chris Marshall, everyone would have gone, oh, really? That's what we kind of thought. And it would just sort of down squib the whole thing. So I felt he was pretty much out of the picture. Mm-hmm. I was surprised, very surprised, that they went with a girl. Interestingly enough, you were saying earlier in that, that tweet which sort of broke down some of the clues in the trailer for this event, that you were having suspicions, and I sort of said I thought you were wrong, and I was wrong on that.
Yeah, so there was...
Do you want to talk about that?
We'll talk about the tweet. I'll need to find the tweet. But basically, to paraphrase whilst I do the finding, there was...
Well, I have it.
You have it there, have you? Lovely. So there was a tweet that was sent. Someone had analysed the Key trailer.
Yeah.
And noticed that all of these things pointed to a female incarnation of the Doctor.
Yeah.
So number 10, there's a female Prime Minister in the UK at the moment. There was...
The Seven Sisters Cliffs.
The Cliffs, yeah. The Statue of Liberty.
Yeah, the iPhone having Siri as the common female voice.
That's right.
And... Sahara Desert was his last guess, being Sahara is a female name. This was at the Jake Jackson one, was when he came up with this. And very astute in the end, I think.
Yes. So it's a female Doctor Who.
Yeah.
I've actually a few hours ago I started writing something which I may save for a rant in this podcast. I may give it to the Doctor Who companion. I don't know what I'm going to do with it, but it's not really a rant. I do feel that this is a fundamental problem, a mistake. I'm basically extremely concerned that this is it for Doctor Who. It doesn't feel like a show that wants me on board.
Surely there is an argument that if it doesn't work, then there will be a Colin Baker-like regeneration with her bumping her head against a TARDIS console and then it regenerating into a guy.
Ah, but that's the big problem, isn't it? Because then it just becomes a token act.
Well, it doesn't become a token act. It becomes an act that was unpopular for whatever reason, and it could be a variety of reasons. Obviously, we couldn't just say it was because it was a female doctor. But if ratings didn't improve and they dipped further, there would be a reason to re-strategize, and I think that would probably mean that it would go quiet for a couple of years. But inevitably, if it is a mistake, as you feel it's a mistake, and there's a lot of people who agree, then surely that will be reflected anyway, if you see what I mean. And
okay, well, if it is a mistake, in which case, then that's a really bad way to treat a whole production team of people and an actress. You see, it seems like there's a lot riding on this, and to go off with a female doctor when the show isn't at its strongest, surely if you're going to make some sort of definitive change to the character of the doctor, and I'm predicting a lot here, but if we consider Missy's nothing like the master, none of masters would have built an army of Cybermen so they could get their old friend back. That wouldn't have happened. So there's presumably going to be a fundamental shift in the character of the Doctor one way or another, because it's now played by a woman, and women and men are actually different.
But they're not that different, and I think this is the problem. And
I think we are different. We have different ways of looking at things, don't we?
But if I chat, I mean, a lot of my friends are girls, and I find, and this is where I think the inherent problem is with TV, as I've said before, is if I'm sitting for an evening with a load of girlfriends watching television, be it, you know, a TV show or a film.
Are you Hugh Hefner?
That has some pleasant qualities as a thought for me only, not for anyone surrounding me in that situation, especially the girls. But when I'm sitting there, nothing of gender really ever comes up. Conversations never really define gender, but in television they inherently always do. In virtually every scene where there is a woman, there has to be some sort of justification or reflection upon gender or the other gender. And it just doesn't happen. And I think that is inherently one of my concerns. I don't have the same sort of concerns as obviously you have, Christian, but my concerns on this would be, as you said, the show is not in a great state. This is going to hit resistance. And I think, funnily enough, the one area that you can always depend on in a fan show is the fans to keep your base going, certainly in perpetuating promotions and social media. Is this going to be a problem for that? I don't know.
I think it is. But I know of at least two people who are very, very dismayed. And that's in like the last... I've been driving since 4:30 when it was announced. So, actually, there's a third person, because one of my wife's her mother's neighbours shouted out the front door to me and asked me what I thought, and she thought it was terrible. So,
but then a lot of people will watch things that they're interested in that they might not like. You know, I'm talking average is a bad word. People who are not fans or critics of the show will sort of tune in. So whether that holds, and they are the far bigger audience than the loud, angry fans. So in a sense, it may work. I mean, the interesting thing is that, you know, especially in the last few days, I've been thinking about this on a totally different subject. There was the subject of them removing from transport for London tubes, the ladies and gentlemen. And there's been a big outcry, strangely from Guardian readers on this, that, you know, this is ridiculous. And, you know, we're always responsible. We're getting too concerned about gender fluidity and all this. And I kind of think in the end, it would be really good to not have an issue with gender. And this should be a way forward in that. My only concern is that the people who are writing it, whether they will have the ability to write it without being issued with gender, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, I think...
Especially initially, when you want to try and keep your fans on board. So you're really going to want to try and avoid making her into a River Song. You're really going to be trying to make her into a Romana, who was pretty much gender neutral, apart from the fact she screamed a lot.
Hmm.
that is really where you need to go with this. If you want to sort of try and find a middle ground to try and prove to the prove to people like you, Christian, that this could work, that is the way they'd have to go. And okay. It's will they go that way, or will they end up doing, which is often a very easier way in writing, and playing gender gags and making it very much about her being a her being a woman, and creating that issue of gender, which in theory this should be removing. That's the problem. Like unisex toilets, I have them at my institution. At first, I found that quite uncomfortable because, you know, my many years, I've never had them before. But, you know, getting rid of those gender boundaries is a great thing. And they say societies that don't have them or have less of them have better relationships between genders, less abuse. But if you're trying to do that, if the people who are writing it end up redefining the genders by writing it, that's not doing that, if you see what I mean. And that's, I think, the concern that a few people have. I certainly am a bit wary of that because I've seen very few well-written women on television.
I think that if we're going to talk about like that particular any sort of gender sort of demarcation between genders and what you just mentioned there, I think one of the most important things to remember is that is an ideal, and it doesn't reflect reality. Even if you made rules like the announcement thing, that transcend gender identity, nouns, pronouns. That kind of is a bit tokenistic because it doesn't reflect the reality in other places. We have gender. We are different. We have different bodies. We have different identities, whether we have different bodies or not. And there's always going to be someone else who's going to be unhappy that theirs isn't.
Well, yeah, you could say that.
Reflected.
It might not be about that. I that's where I think I disagree with you. I don't think it's about trying to reflect women in television. Uh-huh. I don't think this is a feminist issue.
No,
I think it's from a writing perspective. I think this, and an acting perspective, I think artists find this quite an interesting concept. I think that in one part is a galvanization. I think there's a PR point of view that it creates a lot of discourse, which is good for a show in theory. So I think that's a factor. I also think there's a Moffat factor here that since The Curse of Fatal Death, he's always loved to resist traditionalism in fans. And I think the more fans have been annoyed about females, the more it's sort of pushed him to sort of lay the groundwork for this to be able to happen. So I think there's those factors in it. I don't think, to me, it's like, you know, you think, say, 50 years ago, you know, how many places would have feel that, you know, that on a nightclub strip, there should be gay clubs, you know, that is ridiculous. They shouldn't be sort of mixing with us. Is it that sort of thing where we're resistant to sort of, and I know we're sort of making this a bigger argument than it's just a silly TV show, but are those sort of the factors that we are resisting the fact that, yeah, I mean, say a gay person can be different to a straight person, but inherently they are the same people. But if you were to write them on television, could people write a gay person who isn't carrying inherently gay or constantly being about being gay? And that is still a problem, isn't it? To be fair.
It is.
Often it is still a problem. And that is obviously where a place we've got to go. But I'm wondering whether it's sort of like that. It's not about sort of trying to promote homosexuality or having to always give identity to homosexual people. Sometimes it can be about the interest of sort of saying, well, you know, why should it matter? We should be able to do this. You know, we should have a Scottish doctor, or we should have, you know, a doctor from the north. These are very trivial versions compared to what we've got now. But sometimes, you know, things which are resisted do actually become mainstream. But they only become mainstream because those things are pushed forward. And that's in these big macro issues of ideology and cultural problems, and also in television as well. And I don't know whether this is a step, an uncomfortable step, but like I said, for me, it just depends on how they do it and if they can do it well. I mean, someone's argued that in Broadchurch, Chibnall was quite good with women, that it wasn't all of the sort of Moffat-y stuff. But then, you know, Torchwood wasn't exactly about gender neutrality.
Cyber woman!
Yeah, and you know, he obviously had a big hand in a lot of Torchwood. So, but then you'd argue, well, that obviously depends on the remit of the show as to how it will be written. I don't know. I mean, because you said earlier, I'll be blunt with this. You said that you felt this would not be a show that you'd really want to watch anymore. Do you still feel that way, or are you bending to sort of just see what it's like?
No,
or...
I don't want to watch it. No interest. You know what? In the adult world, we have so many programs with female characters, strong female characters, strong female lead characters in BBC drama and on ITV. We've got Happy Valley, we've got Line of Duty, we've got Murder in Suburbia, we've got countless soap operas dominated by strong female characters or weak female characters with character development to show them overcoming adversity. What have we got for men? What strong male characters have you got on British TV that are not corrupt in some way? Or solve problems the wrong way. The doctor solves problems the right way 9 times out of 10. We're living in a country. This isn't just in the UK. This is in other Anglosphere countries. I don't know whether it's the case in Europe or not. Where men are reluctant to become teachers, and this is a when we've got societal breakdown of family with like many three parent. Or five parent, or basically families with a single female parent. 28% of 2014's intake of newly qualified teachers in the UK were male. That's 28%. That's just over a quarter of new teachers were blokes. At my children's school, there is one male teacher. He's not even there, like permanently at that school, and he's a former footballer, and he's the sports teacher. And a big proportion of that 28% of men are sports teachers. Now, that in itself is a big problem. This isn't just a problem for little boys. This is a problem for little girls as well. Doctor Who is supposed to be a family television programme. How is having yet another strong female character in the life of a small person going to improve relations between the genders, for a start?
Okay, well, I would say as a counterpoint to that, I'd say there's a few things. I think first of all, we've got to be careful that we're not making, and I know you're not saying this, but it doesn't end up sort of suggesting the reason there's not many male teachers is because of an issue with females, where I'd think a lot so is either to do with social issues or maybe the fact that there's that because of men, there is a concern that men don't want to go into teaching because there is this very thorny issue of abuses, of being singled out for abuse, which is, again, is an issue with men and nothing to do with women. It's an issue with our own gender, which is a problem we're finding hard to tackle in a way which is productive and positive and not, as you say, creating an imbalance in gender roles within schools. Which is an issue. I totally get that. I think the other problem is that how many good men role models are there on television?
Very few.
And if you go back to our era, you know, I mean, even Michael Knight, I wouldn't say is a good male role model, even though he's a positive one in many ways, because he's meant to stand for good, you know, justice. But is he a good role model, male role model of what men should be?
Even then, you know, the TV presenters were great. They're, you know, people like... Tony Hart or Derek Griffith or, you know, one of those guys. They were fun, interesting people. Brian Cant, who sadly just passed away not so long ago. These days, there's some good TV presenters for the little ones. I had to think about what my children watch, and there's a guy called Andy Day who's quite good fun, but he has a kind of a time travel show. But it's a bit shallow. There's two programmes. There's one with James Bolam and the one with Bernard Cribbins. Both great actors. Bernard Cribbins, I mean, another great guy from the world of show business. But, you know, they're both grandfatherly characters that occupy a world of fantasy. Really, it's the non-fiction type of people. Steve Backshall's a fun adventure on CBBC. I think he's done a few adult programmes as well. He does kids' programmes. You've got Chris Packham. It's a very short list. And then you think, like, drama TV for grown-ups, strong male characters. Well, British TV, I can't think of any. They're you know, it's 90% corrupt coppers. Even the heroes are corrupt coppers in some way. There's something wrong with them. Either they're corrupt or they beat the shit out of the wrong people or something.
But there is, in coppers, there is a lot of male corruption. Yeah. Because it has been a very fraternal society. So it's not saying that male are necessarily inherently more likely to be corrupt. It's just a very fraternal male.
And that's how it's presented on TV. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because that is to some degree what it is. That's what I'm saying, is it's not really to sort of show that the women are better or men are worse.
Indeed. But we then have this problem. So we've got the doctor, who's a strong, positive male role model for children.
Okay, that's, I get that, and I think that's a very, I think that is a, an inherently strong point.
I just feel that the BBC have a bit of responsibility here, and they are not.
But surely then the argument is
shirking it.
The argument is that they're not, they've not got enough strong male role models, and we need to perhaps not now, but we'd have to decide what we define as that. And because of that, it means in one show which is having a shift, it can't have a shift because it's one of the very few, maybe even global shows that has a very strong male role model, which in theory, if Moffat and Davis would actually let him, would not be driven by those standard male sort of gendered drives of having to protect their female, who is the most wonderful person, even though it's not sort of done as sexual. You know, the fact that they're always chasing after protecting Clara as being the most wonderful woman, or Amy being the most wonderful woman, or Rose being the most wonderful woman, rather than Jack, who he leaves behind, or the pond, whose name suddenly escapes me, Rory, who is sort of ridiculed for most of it. And do you know what I mean? That there's, that while they keep pushing that, that's not helping much either. I don't know. I just think that the question here is, what is a strong male role model? And maybe the argument is a bigger one, is that why are there not enough of them on television, if we take your point as true? I don't know enough about children's television to really be able to say. But if that's the case, what do we need to be having on television? Is it more things like The Doctor? Is The Doctor an example of that sort of male role model that we want for kids? I don't know. It's a genuine question, because I've not really thought about it until you just brought it up.
Well, I think, you know, having a positive approach to problems is the first.
Yeah.
The first thing. Having someone who delivers a moral lesson is a second thing. I'm not saying that a woman cannot do that, but that you know, we've, there's so many female presenters who do that. That, you know, that's part of what they do. It's part of, like, female television, for want of a better term, where, you know, you've got things like the lunchtime show on ITV, Loose Women, in which women pass comments on the day's affairs in show business and have a few thoughts of their own about it in front of a studio audience of largely ladies.
But we have always had that sort of thing for men as well, and even late, you know, we certainly still have them on Dave and the like. That's the male variant of that sort of show. You know, I personally don't like those sort of pieces, fluff shows, whether they're male or female. Again, it's a part of the thing about reinforcing gender, which I don't think is helpful.
Well, this is the other thing, because because we were talking about gender and separation and breaking down barriers, but programs like that don't break down barriers; they reinforce barriers.
They do, to agree. I suppose the counter argument would be for 50% of the country, which really has not, and I don't think there's an argument to say has really had that much representation. Especially for a lot of the issues that they have had. And there's no doubt that this is still a male-dominated society. And as soon as you have a dominant, then those who are not dominant are not going to be as represented as the dominant. And that is still definitely the case. It's a lot more different now, I totally agree with you. And I don't think it's balanced in any way. But I can sort of see why those programs would become more inclusive of the issue, like gender or sexuality, rather than being broader, like you say, and having everyone involved in it. You know, I suppose it's that question of zones where people who feel that they're not represented just want to see themselves represented, and the people who are in their eyes always represented are just not there for a change. And I suppose that's the sort of feel of it. Now, whether that's helpful or not, like you say, I don't know. I just don't think this. I think the sad thing here is that for you, you feel that you've lost, especially as a father, you've lost a strong male role model that was one that your kids were watching and were aware of. You've lost that in a world where you don't feel there are many role models for your kids that are men being represented on television.
Yeah,
so
I do.
Sounds to me that is where a lot of your frustration is.
I think it's a large portion of it. I think there's also, you know, when you're at that age as well, boys and girls kind of, that's the age where they split off into groups.
Right.
And they don't start talking to each other properly again until they're like 13 or whatever. You know, yeah. So if I tell young Bruce in the next hour or so that the new Doctor's going to be a lady, he's going to wrinkle his nose up. Now, his mood on that might have changed completely by next year. But that's going to be his first reaction. So
what's about if they have... Because this is the other argument, is for many, 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 many years, there were very few very strong female models within Doctor Who and Star Wars, bar, say, you know, Leia, who is arguable in her history. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how strong she is in the third film, but, you know, that they needed a strong representation. And some have argued that they've got it in their latest companions. You know, as I say, as we've talked about this over, 5-6 years, and mm-hmm. There is a question on it. But is it a question of whether, presumably, the companion to this new Doctor will be male? And is it a question of what is it going to be in that male companion that could be a good role model? And let's be honest, in the past, by and large, the male companions have actually been quite good male role models, haven't they? I mean, even Turlough, who was a dodgy character, who sort of found redemption. Harry was, okay, he was very traditional and perhaps not the example of a progressive man, but as a role model, in a lot of ways, he was a very kind man. He was very helpful. He never judged women. He never judged anyone. He was quite a good role model. Ian was brilliant. Even Jamie, to some degree, wasn't he? So could there be a chance that we would have a better male companion through this than we've seen in a long time?
Well, there's a possibility of that, but at the same time, why couldn't we have had a better male companion to start with? With
yes,
a male doctor.
Yes, there is,
you know,
that. There
I,
is
I can't,
that.
There's two things, really, about all of this. I would largely agree with you. I think that is an opportunity. There's two things I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
Is this really the problem? Is having a female doctor really the problem? Or is the problem actually the BBC offering an endless drip, drip, drip of celebration of its own diversity instead of just getting on with the job of making relevant television shows? We've had this sort of over the top, aren't we great? Doctor Who having its second gay companion and its third black companion, but the PR department presents it as the first black companion and the first gay companion.
Yeah, but is that just the PR department just being people doing a day job and not really doing their job?
Well, I don't know, but, you know, it goes back to, you know, everything gets signed off by the producer, so...
Well, and plus there is the argument, yeah, there's a PR factor that as soon as you say you've got your first, you hope that people don't recognise it. Makes your statement, it makes your coverage, hopefully, of your position greater than if you say it's the second. This is the second one we've had. If you can sort of get away and go, this is our first. Hurrah, you know, we're again breaking boundaries. We're back in the news. So is there a bit of that? I don't think this is particularly BBC orientated. Like I said before, I kind of got the impression from the sources I've had and the sources you've got as well, that the show has not, even though people are now sort of feeling very comfortable that it's got, what is it, 5 years in theory with Chibnall, but that is always going to be subject to change. I've never heard anything in the BBC which is actually tied down for 5 years. It will be reviewed each year, I'm sure. They're not dumb. Or if they're not, then they'll just do as many companies do and they'll just work around it. And they'll put it, they'll make 2 episodes a year and put it on BBC iPlayer, you know, if they wanted to. You know, they don't have, there's always ways around something which isn't actually doing them any good to sort of pushing it out of the way. They've not been thrilled with the way it's been going at the moment. So I am surprised that I don't think they would be playing a diversity card on this. I don't think this is a position where they would feel comfortable doing that because it's something. So I think this is, I personally think, and I've got no proof of this, I think this is production led. I think this is something that Moffat's been pushing for a while. I think it's something that would engage Chibnall. In fact, I could imagine it was a sort of thing which probably might have even got Chibnall involved in the first place because it's something interesting. It's something different. It's something where he can put his, you know, put his land, he can, it landmarks him, doesn't it? This is something quite big. It gives him something to showcase and to fight for and to work for. It's engaging. So I think it's these sort of things. I think it's almost, maybe in a weird way, now we have such forums of opinion. Opinion has become so much bigger. The issue of gender and it is far bigger now than it was 30 years ago when it was more of a problem than it is now. So maybe, in a sense, this is just something exciting to sort of break through and sort of get people talking. And for a creator, that's very exciting. So I personally think this is nothing to do with the BBC. I think the BBC is probably very much on the lines of, oh, Jesus Christ, this could really screw. But we're going to go with this. And if they fail, then fine. We lay it to rest for a few years, which we both know they've had that option and considered it for several years now. Mm. So if BBC, if Doctor Who doesn't do well, it strikes me that they're not that bothered about shelving it for a bit. So I get the impression this is more of a make or break. You okay. think you can make a female Doctor work? Go for it. It sounds great for us. Like you say, it does tick a few boxes for us, obviously. That's just the way the institutions work. But I think they'd have probably preferred to have gone safe. And that's why I think we all thought they would go safe, because that was a sensible situation given that the ratings were not good. This feels like a roll of the dice, doesn't it? A bit of a gamble. You'll either make waves, get people watching, then people stick watching, or people will, and the papers will just tear it apart. And
now, you, I know that you didn't watch the last series as it aired, did you?
I didn't watch all of it. Some of it I watched when it aired. No, actually, very few of it. You're right.
Yeah.
Quite.
So
I think it's like the first one I saw.
So if the Jodie Whittaker Doctor Who was going on there tomorrow night or tonight, would you be tuning in to watch it?
If
or
I had the option,
would you be watching it on iPlayer at your convenience and maybe forgetting about it?
It's a very interesting question, and I would actually say, quite honestly, and I've not considered this until you asked your interesting question, I would be more likely to watch this live than the Stephen Moffat era.
Okay.
Which is just because, and I think simply because with the Stephen Moffat era, obviously I've got preconceptions. I've had experience. To me, I've been punched in the gut more than I've been stroked on my face. So, you know, I feel less inclination to go and have a punch in the gut delivered rather than a stroke on the face. With this, I don't know what I'm going to get. As I say, I have concerns and about the writing, because I'm as feminist in the sense that I really strongly believe that, you know, that we need to be sort of moving towards treating both genders equally, no matter what their decisions are. That, you know, we don't judge how we judge men for making bad decisions or right decisions should be exactly the same way we judge women. That's really the level we should be at, and we're not there yet. And in the way that we write, we're clearly not there, because we're still too focused on the gender and the sexuality of the genders, which, like I say, to me, in my dealings with men and women, is very rarely an issue.
Well, I'm going to...
Unless there's drink involved, you know.
Yeah. We're going to have to wrap things up in a moment.
Yeah.
However, I'm fielding a lot of text messages with what we call sexist banter regarding the new Doctor. And I can tell you that 75% of them are from ladies. So there's a new challenge for Doctor Who to end sexism.
Well, there is a problem here that, yeah, something we haven't touched upon is, naturally, this isn't just a male issue. That for a lot of women, in the same way that, I can't think of a male example, but for a lot of women, they enjoy the male character, be it that they find them attractive, and they enjoy in the same way that men enjoy having a female companion. So I think you're inevitably going to get women who are equally against this as well. And there'll be women who genuinely like having a male doctor, in the same way that I genuinely like, I'm trying to think of a show which has a strong female lead that I like, that would be suddenly changed into a man. I don't know. But do you know what I mean? I think there is a bit of that. I think we've got to be careful that there's, I mean, I've seen stuff coming up already about social justice warriors and, you know, all these blanket terms to try and trivialize or devalue people's perspectives. And I think there's just a lot of perspectives on this. And I'm very keen that we kind of don't sort of shut any of them down. I don't think I'm kind of hoping when we've been talking here, we're not been shutting anyone's down or each other's, which we certainly haven't. And just, you know, all of you guys out there, when you're talking about this, just try and be critical. I think whatever the arguments are, try and be critical. Don't jump with your gut. Have a think about it and then come to your decisions. I mean, we both have. I don't think there's anything here. I mean, obviously it's an emotional issue, but you've got your own, you've got your facts, you've got your perspective, you've got your reasoning behind it. And I think that's all we ask from people, is that just don't jump into these debates on your gut feeling. Have a think about it and define why you feel this way. Why am I against this? Why am I for it? And try and get past the fact of it's always been a male. I don't think that's really what we're meant to be looking at here.
We've got
to say, why is that a problem?
No, because I've always been a male, and I'm not going to become a female tomorrow because I've been a male for every other day of my life. I'm going to leave you with this, and then we're going to let you continue the conversation in the comments, dear listener. I dare say we're going to touch on this again in the future. As visions for Doctor Who go, that's a pretty hard sell. Just my opinion. Mm. It's kind of crystallized. Thanks, James McLean, for this ad hoc podcast.
Yeah, fascinating.
Hoccast. Ad hoc cast with a K. We will be back in a couple of weeks. I think we've got a new podcast with James and John Kenneth Muir next week.
Yep.
Until then, it's goodbye from us.
This is a Beyond Casterbrus podcast. Available on iTunes, Audio Boom, Stitcher.com, Player FM, and BeyondCasterbrus.com.